Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark. My heart is broken with how much joy there is about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who is joining us.
They're an actor, writer, comedian who you know from UCB and the Sundance Short Blocks. It's Ruha Taslimi.
Yay. Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
They were a friend of mine. Ruha, are you a fan of Westerns?
Oh, that's a great question.
Thank you. You're a California native, right? Aren't you an LA native?
I am.
So a child of the West.
A child of the West.
Sunset
Magazine. Very Western.
Yeah, very Western.
Yes.
Can't get much more Western.
Subscribe to Sunset Magazine.
I did for a time.
Did you?
Really? What were the articles like?
Breezy. My mom used to clip out the recipes from Sunset Magazine and always be like, a tuna casserole, but with like a jalapeno twist or something.
Sure.
You know?
Perfect.
Very California.
Yeah.
She made some weird thing. I don't know if this was from Sunset, but at the time we thought it was good. But now it seems that this is very 70s dish where she would take peach halves, put a meatball in it, and then bake the whole thing.
That's the definition of the 70s recipe.
Yeah,
right
but
there.
Honestly, it sounds strange to have, like, you eat the meatball first, and then you're looking at this hot peach halve with, like, little bits of ground beef in it and some salt. Honestly, it was delicious.
That explains all of your fetishes.
I love a meaty peach halve.
I love stuffing meatballs into stuff.
Fruit?
In a juicy ass, sure.
Truly, tomatoes, peppers.
Sure. What do you
besides
got?
Meaty asses, you know, cabbage.
Right.
Round, the classics.
And tomato, I'm like, that's not that far off from a peach.
Don't get John started on tomatoes. Oh, he hates tomatoes.
I don't like them, though. I don't even like them on my plate.
Out of here.
I'll give it to Mark. You take care of this.
Oh, so Westerns. Really.
Westerns.
Yeah, so Westerns. I don't know. Not like...
Sure.
Kind of. Like... not like... I wouldn't define myself as like a lover of the Western genre.
Sure.
But yeah, some are
You're not opposed.
Fun. I'm not opposed. And I love...
you won't leave the room.
And I love a cowboy and I love a Western theme. I'm into the aesthetic for sure.
Are you more like, you'd rather like, do you like Frontierland? Is that like that kind of Western?
I love Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
I love Big Thunder. Don't get me started on this.
Good one.
It was like my favorite.
Sure.
Is that what your tattoo is from?
It is. I do have a tattoo of Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Okay.
You don't have a have a tattoo of the railroad. You have a character on the railroad.
It's impossible to see.
It's impossible.
It's audio medium. Have a look at my forearm.
Might have to do that.
Maybe something on the Instagram. Maybe put it there. There you go.
There we go. There we go.
I got a tattoo of the goat with the stick of dynamite in its mouth.
There you go.
Have I ever gotten able to skip the line? No.
Oh.
No. And I'm outraged.
Have you tried? You've never tried when I was with
no,
you.
No, I've never tried, but I don't want to make it. I don't want to be the one to ask. I want them to go like, sir, what a great tattoo. Please.
But that's why you're always doing front. These weird stretches when I'm we're on the line. Awkward. Like,
applying lotion, you know, sunscreen.
Well, there's first 10 minutes of struggling of figuring out how to get anyone to see the
yes.
tattoo on your arm.
Yes.
Rotating the arm and being like, oh, they still can't see it.
God damn it. This teenager didn't notice my forearm. Okay.
And then a lot of like, oh, did you see my tattoo?
Oh, did that happen to catch your eye?
Did I drop a tattoo? Excuse me.
You know, I might as well get it. Speaking of flirty Western environments.
Sure.
Today, we're talking about, I can't believe it's taken us this many episodes to finally get to one of the grand poobahs of queer cinema.
Yeah.
It's safe to say Brokeback Mountain. John, what's the deal with Brokeback Mountain?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Brokeback Mountain. It was directed by Ang Lee with a screenplay by Diana Ossana and Larry McMurtry, adapted from a short story by Annie Prue. And the film depicts the complex romantic relationship between two cowboys in the American West from 1963 to 1983. It stars Heath Ledger, Jake Gyllenhaal, Michelle Williams, Anne Hathaway, Linda Cardellini, Anna Faris, David Harbour, and Randy Quaid. It was released in limited release on December 9th, 2005, and went on to make $178.1 million off a budget of $14 million. Roger Ebert gave it 4 stars in his review, stating, "The filmmakers have focused so intently and with such feeling on Jack and Ennis that the movie is as observant as work by Bergman." And even conservative radio host Michael Medved described it as extremely well done, although he felt the film was pushing the gay agenda. It was nominated for 8 Oscars, winning Best Director for Ang Lee, Best Adapted Screenplay, Best Original Score. And it was nominated for Best Lead Actor for Heath Ledger, Best Supporting Actor for Jake Gyllenhaal, Best Supporting Actress for Michelle Williams, Best Cinematography, and it scandalously lost Best Picture to Crash. And on March 23rd, 2006, Randy Quaid filed a lawsuit against Focus Features for misrepresenting Brokeback Mountain as a low-budget art house film with no prospect of making any money in order to secure him for a cheaper rate. But then Quaid's publicist later said he dropped the lawsuit as the company agreed to pay him a settlement, but the company denies that this ever happened. And that is the deal with Brokeback Mountain.
So, Ruha, we asked you to pick a movie. You picked Brokeback Mountain. Why Brokeback Mountain?
Well, I do love it.
The plus.
I noticed, you know, that Brokeback hadn't been reviewed yet, hadn't been talked about. And yeah. I was like, oh, Brokeback. It's a favorite. And it is like, it's so strange because I'm like, 2005 doesn't seem like long enough ago that it was like so groundbreaking for this movie to happen at the
right,
time.
Yeah.
And yet it was.
Yeah.
It was a very 100%. Big deal when it happened. It's nice that like you can be like, oh, so much kind of, it feels like a lot of progress since 2005. So just in the span of their love affair of 20 years.
That's, yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, it is amazing like how much, like how many, like the interviews with the actors, there were so much of like, were you afraid to do this? Were you worried about doing this? And it seems so not a question that people would ask now. If a straight actor were to play a gay role, there wouldn't be any like, were you worried that there would be, you know, any repercussions?
It was really groundbreaking that it was so lauded as like such bravery and like boldness on their parts. Whereas like now, if anything, you're like, just cast gay people. Why are these?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How did you make out the producers? Right.
How did you possibly manage to make out with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yes.
Oh boy.
Yeah. And
arm.
Make that believable and heart wrenching. What, two men like showing their passion like this? Like,
yeah.
Truly like showing a really passionate, heartbreaking story of this love, of this queer love, wasn't a thing we saw. Definitely not mainstream.
Right. And still in some ways, hardly at all ever now too. Maybe on TV shows you see it, but like queer cinema is kind of like, when's the last time there was like a big gay movie?
I mean, now what studio? I feel like the next thing would be a gay Marvel superhero.
Right.
Yeah. But this kind of like really intense, like artistic, like an art house film that's
right,
but on this grand scale, it's a great picture. It's a great film.
A great picture.
Yeah. It's a really great picture. It's one of the classics.
It's making buffo box office, this picture.
So it sounds like you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. Right. And I think that it's done really well. I mean, the score is just like, I still am obsessed with the
evocative
score.
Yeah.
Like my feelings, like
it
really still does get me.
I know. I once did like a trivia contest like a few months ago at work, all over Zoom, but like the one was like identify the movie by like just a few notes of the soundtrack, and as soon as like you heard that bing of the guitar, I was like, Brokeback Mountain.
Everyone else shut up, this is mine.
I know it. And this gave me an opportunity to own it, because I think I mentioned in the movies I picked, I was like, I own most of these. So
did you buy the Blu-ray?
No, I bought it on Amazon because I always buy it if I love the movie and if
it's
the price is
more.
Pretty close. Yeah. It was literally $1 more. It was $2.99 to buy it. $2 and yeah,
you'd be a fool not to buy it.
Yeah,
I was, and $1.99 to rent. I was like, hell, what? This is not a decision. Thank you.
So proud owner.
Proud owner. A Brokeback Mountain. If anyone wants, needs a Brokeback Mountain night, just let me know.
Brokeback Mountain night at Ruja's. We're eating chili out of cans.
Bring your own beans.
Bring it. BYOB.
Don't bring soup. Don't bring soup. It's too hard to bring.
Thank you.
Do not bring entrails.
No
hunting elk in my yard, but
I'll have elk jerky, but everything else is up to you.
John, had you seen Brokeback Mountain before?
Yes, I'd seen it when it came out. This might have been the second time I watched it all the way through. It's wonderful, but it is not a casual watch. You're not like, oh, let's just put Brokeback Mountain on, fold some laundry and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so like I saw it when it came out and loved it and thought it was amazing, and then rewatched it and was impressed again with how great it is and how really like beautiful and moving and wonderful it is. And it's like a lot of the reviews as I was looking through them were like, oh, it in a way it takes its time to have like the impact like sneaks up on you. And I think that's really true, because there's also like they get to like the first sex scene. It doesn't take that long. You know what I mean? It's like it's when there's like 20 to 30 minutes and there's a way in which you're like, oh, there's another 2 hours here. But it is so moving and so harrowing. And I have to say, rewatching it this time, I was way more impressed with Michelle. Not like I wasn't impressed with her before, but Michelle Williams, to me, really, I was like, good Lord, like we don't talk about her performance enough in this movie, because she was truly incredible and amazing in this film. And Heath Ledger's great. And Jake, like everyone's great. There's no weak link in this cast. Even the piece of garbage Randy Quaid is like perfect in that part, but like,
perfect playing a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I buy him.
Yeah. Yeah. That seems right. This is totally believable. But yeah, I mean, just like totally impressed anew with Brokeback Mountain.
Oh,
it was really beautiful and very moving.
Like a virgin. Like,
exactly. Was surprised at how moved I was seeing it again, even knowing how it all turns out.
Even though you know there's going to be two shirts at the end, you knew it was coming.
Yeah, one in the other. It's going to flip. It's a whole thing. You see the transformation. It's all in the laundry. But how about you, Mark? What are you bringing to Brokeback Mountain?
I remember I saw this opening weekend at the Grove. So this was
like the Grove opening weekend too.
Maybe we were there.
Oh my God, maybe.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Maybe.
This was like, I think I saw it opening night at the Grove.
I think it was Friday night.
You
I
camped
thought.
Out.
It was like the gay event.
Yeah.
You know, so it was very exciting. There was a charge through the theater.
Of course.
I remember loving it. I bought the soundtrack, listened to it repeatedly on my iPod, nice. Which was a thing back then.
Throwback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I don't know if I've seen it that much since. I think I've caught it like on TV here and there, but it's still great. I don't know. I think it's amazing. It's beautiful. I love a Western. So I love scenic landscapes. I love cowboys. They're fucking hot. I was once, I think I mentioned this on the show before, I was once tasked at a July 4th party last year to pick the stripper's outfit, a male stripper's outfit. And I said, cowboy.
Yeah.
What are you not going to choose a cowboy?
That. No, it's a full hit.
So I loved it. And it, I remember being, when they announced Crash at the Oscars, I think that's when I truly lost my Academy Award innocence. I was like, well, I think I remember immediately turning it off.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, these awards are wrong.
They've been dead to me ever since.
Yeah.
So
not even Moonlight reclaiming. That didn't even.
There's too much damage. They're right every like 5 years. You know what I mean? But it can't make up for all the dumb decisions.
I think I was broken before Brokeback, but yes, Brokeback was a big one.
That was a bad one.
Yeah.
Well, Ruha, as you may or may not know, we are looking for the gayest movies ever. So we have we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories. At one point, you are going to come up with a category and it will be added to the wheel. What does that mean? Don't worry about it. We'll explain it when we get to it. Get off my broke back already. Okay. So this is our current top five gayest movies ever. This is the current, these are the titans you're up against. In fifth place with an 89.70%, The Apple. In fourth place with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In third place with a 90.37%, Madonna, Truth or Dare. In second place with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number one, still reigning champ with a 94.83% is Female Trouble.
And that makes sense, yes.
Okay. So, Ruha, if you had to guess now, how well do you think Brokeback Mountain is going to do?
Oh my God. Oh, this is so much.
Well,
pleasure.
Also say maybe this, we've done another Larry McMurtry joint, Terms of Endearment. Larry McMurtry co-wrote the screenplay, but then wrote the book Terms of Endearment was on. Terms of Endearment is 23rd place with a 76.91%.
Okay, well, I'm rooting for top 10 for Brokeback.
Top 10.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if it will, but, you know, fingies crossed.
I will say this. I feel like that's a solid bet, one I would put money on.
Okay.
I'm still going to be honest as we go into the score.
Yeah, right, John.
Oh, yes, Mark. You're the only one who's honest in this Zoom.
You've made this prediction, and you're going to do whatever it takes to make sure that
100.
Shifty Nostradamus, we call him. So we're on this first group of categories are the canon categories. So for these, we're each going to give a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all three of our scores. So first category, how would you rate Brokeback Mountain on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters? Well, there's at least four.
Yeah.
Four? Who are your four?
Aniston, Jack,
right?
David Harbour.
Okay.
And
is that
is that
Anna Faris's husband?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then the alley in Mexico.
And then the Mexico.
Oh, sure. Okay, gotcha.
Which honestly, if you're counting the alley in Mexico, I think everyone in
probably.
That alley.
Yeah, yeah.
But
does gay for pay
you know.
Count? Right.
Yeah. What's the opposite of Nightmare Alley? More like Dream Alley. That place. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they're the main characters.
They're the main characters.
I mean, it's
the
about
two absolute leads.
Yeah.
So yes. I would say, 90. I'll give it a 90.
Sure.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like discussion when this came out about like, are they gay or are they just like, do they even
bisexual
know the concept
or...
of gay?
Right,
you know what I mean? But what does it matter? They're doing gay shit. People doing gay shit. That's enough.
Well, I think it's also like very telling about how much like our understanding of sexuality has evolved in that time of like, oh no, they're actually bisexual because they're this or they're, you know what I mean? As opposed to like, it's not a binary or even just like specific, like there's a spectrum, there's shades to it. Like
they're queer. They're living in a time and a place where it's literally dangerous to be so. And they've repressed
right.
it. You
know? Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Tried.
Yeah. And, it's self-preservation or is dictating so much of their behavior. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say 90 as well. I mean, the boys in the band to me is 100 because everyone in that film is gay, but this has some non-gay people in it.
And like, they literally leave a cake out in the rain.
That's true. The Donna Summer
Park reference?
The Donna Summer of it all. Yes. So I will give it a 90 as well for actual gay characters.
I don't know. I'm going to go 92. Just
to be Mark about it.
They're on the poster.
I mean, the poster's 100%.
100%. The poster's 100%.
If we're grading the poster, yes. No doubt. Yes, 100.
So got an average of 90.67, which is indeed the highest we've had in the last 16 movies. Higher even than Beyond the Valley of the Dolls, which got an 89.33.
Okay.
So very nice. All right. Our next one, gay icons. What do we think? Well, there's Michelle Williams, Anne Hathaway, Linda Cardellini, Freaks and Geeks.
Anna Faris,
sure. I feel like Kate none Mara. Of them are like top shelf.
I think Anne Hathaway is like a very strong, maybe not E.
I don't know. Anne
superior.
Hathaway has such a...
Exactly.
I will say this.
Exactly.
She is polarizing.
People,
I don't want to... be mean about Anne Hathaway, but I'm one of those people who is the nicest way I can describe it is I feel like I'm allergic to her. When I see her on screen, I don't feel well, and so I don't think she's not necessarily about. I've never met her. I don't know.
Is it because the musical theaterness of it all, and you don't? Or do you feel like there's a part of you in her that you don't like seeing?
I don't know that it's that. I think it's that she thinks she's more genuine than she is. Like, here's the thing that like made me. Filled me with a white hot rage. I will say this. So with Les Mis, which she won her Oscar, good for her. Uh-huh. She in like one of those like packages when they were talking about it, and, you know, she plays Fontaine, and Fontaine has the big solo, I Dreamed a Dream, and then she dies. And it's this great, wonderful, belty song. And Anne Hathaway said like, she felt like it would be very selfish to belt the song because it's not true to the character, which is like, no, you just can't sing it that way. And also if we're talking about selfish, apparently with Les Mis, she did 20 takes of that song, even though after the fourth take, the director was like, I think we've got it. She was like, I need to do 16 more because I'm goddamn Anne Hathaway.
That so, bitch. God.
I just, everything I hear about her makes me ill.
Oh, but Stanley Kubrick does 60 takes. You don't bat an eye.
Well, it's Stanley Kubrick.
Stanley Kubrick is not going around being like, it would be so selfish to and overindulgent to make the actors do more than two takes.
God forbid an actress is overindulgent.
Yes. Well, I still can't stand
how
her.
Dare.
But I won't give her gay icon status.
I think just the fact that she gets this out of you is enough for gay icon status. Well, you know what I mean?
If you want
that's
that to
arguable.
Reflect in your score, you
she
go
gets
right
your
ahead.
Dander up. and Michelle Williams.
Yeah, but none of them are like the
obviously
biggest.
There's no Cher. No. There's no
obviously.
No Bette Midler. There's Lily Tomlin.
But if we were doing like gay icons who came up in the 2000s, you would have to talk about Anne Hathaway.
It's not nothing. Sure.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah. See stews. Sure.
I don't know. I guess I'm thinking like 75.
But also maybe the movie itself.
I think the movie itself is the biggest icon.
Oh,
there are people
true.
That are like,
that's
like
true.
If all the things were a poster and like, if you saw Brokeback Mountain as a poster in someone's room, you'd be like, ah, okay.
Okay.
I got you.
Back to the poster.
I know what she's about. Back to
the poster. Anytime the poster comes up is 100.
So. Although the poster they said was deliberately trying to evoke Titanic, which is not a gay movie.
Isn't it?
I'll tell you exactly how gay it is.
Just because it has a Celine Dion ballad doesn't make it a gay movie.
I mean, I know it's not a gay movie, but
how did it do in our scoring system?
Titanic. Oh, 45.49% gay.
So
that's
so not really.
That's not really.
It's 100. It's right there. Smack dab 100.
Titanic. I think evoking Titanic with Heath Ledger and Jake Gyllenhaal. Oh.
Also, Rufus Wainwright on the soundtrack.
Okay. Rufus Wainwright is on the soundtrack. Okay, I'm inkling my way towards 100.
Oh, what are we doing, Ruha? What do you want to do?
Okay,
final answer.
80.
80.
I'm gonna go 55.
55. There's that white hot rage. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like you should have done Fantine? Is this the problem?
No. I don't think I should. There's plenty of women who could have sung it and not been self-indulgent and not acted like.
Don't we like that? Like a gay icon itself. If a person's not a gay icon because they're self-indulgent, there
I
are
get
no
what
gay
you're
icons.
Saying. No, I get what you're saying, but there's a way where like it doesn't
you just don't like
other people. There's something about her that I don't like.
Yeah, I get it.
And I don't want to just be like, she's horrible. Like, I don't want to be that horrible person. But again,
you know,
like,
you can't,
I'm just allergic
it with
to
logic.
Her. I can't. I just don't like her. I just, everything she says, I'm like, shut up.
Do you ever see Rachel at the Wedding?
That's the one movie of hers I haven't seen that everyone's like, if you see that, she's really good. And here's the thing. Even watching it this time, I was like, oh, right. Anne Hathaway's in it. I was like, oh, she's fine. She didn't
even
bother
Devil
me
Wears
this
Prada. I think she's good in Devil Wears Prada.
She's very good in Devil Wears Prada.
Very good. Begrudgingly.
She's very polarizing. Like, she's not my favorite, but I don't hate her.
That's where I am.
I thought she was very good as Catwoman.
Dark Knight Rises.
You don't remember.
Oh, my God.
It's been a while.
I was going to say, I don't even remember her ass.
Yeah.
I know the movie.
I'm going to give
TDKR? I love TDKR.
TDKR, as it's known in the trades. Yeah. I'm going to give it an 84.
That's
pretty good. Giving an average of 73, which is 4 points higher than The House of Yes. Well, that one comes up a lot lately. Oh, but is 10 times higher than Phantom Thread, which has a 7.33 for all you,
there you go,
algebra nerds. All right, our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
Well, we got Heath Ledger stripping out of focus, but he's pretty naked.
But know what I love about that shot? It's like, he's out of focus, but we're looking at Jake Gyllenhaal, and the whole time it's composed in such a way to think like, is he going to look?
Is he going to peek?
And he doesn't.
You know he wants to peek, though. Oh, it's so
delicious.
But you can
feel
so
how
delicious.
Much he wants
you can feel it.
Oh, he's sucking on that cigarette, wanting to peek.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing shot.
Especially because there's the opening, like the first time they meet each other, where he's fully peeking through the mirror of his truck while he's shaving, just to even look at this guy.
Whew. Yeah. And there's also Gyllenhaal by the river in just his boots.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they both look
washing and stuff
in this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there is the, you know, when they first go fishing together, when they jump off the cliff.
Very sweet.
That's true.
Dipping.
David Harbour looks hot, I think.
He looks
I think
great.
The one biker, there's one of the two bikers at the 4th of July fireworks show. That one biker is really stunning.
Oh. He's really setting off fireworks for you?
Yeah. He was hot. I was like, I never noticed him before. I was blinded by Heath when I first saw it.
Oh,
I was
of
like,
course.
Oh, this swarthy, awful character is really hot.
It's also really hot.
Yeah.
And just in when they're up in the mountains, just when they're like, when Randy Quaid's like spying on them and they're wrestling shirtless and everything, all that's really good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I do remember this the first time I saw it, and I sort of like the first time they kiss, it did sort of make me laugh because it was that thing of like, oh, I'm kissing a dude. Like, it was just so like aggressive that I think some of their making out did make me laugh. Not in a way that
I think
I didn't
now
like
they
it.
Would have had. I think now they would have had like
an intimacy coach
consultant.
Right. Yes, of course.
Yeah. I'd be like, nobody does this. But also, maybe if you were like a super repressed cowboy
it
who'd never
feel
done
wrong.
Anything
it just made
gay,
me laugh, though.
Yeah. I know. I mean, both their first sex scene and the first time they kiss is so just like, get off me. What? I'm going to hit you.
Fuck you. Like, yeah.
How dare you give me a hard on?
But then also, when Jack Twist first goes to see Ennis after all those years, and the way that they make out immediately is, I think, to this day, the hottest makeout I've ever seen in any movie, and also makes me feel the most.
Wow.
The way it like
that's like
me,
Michelle
like,
Williams
oh my
spying
God.
On them. That's so
devastating.
So and Michelle much. Williams seeing it.
Oh my God. She's so good.
But that intensity and the way that that's shot, I think, counts.
That Ang Lee's pretty good.
Yeah.
So what do you want to give for the male gaze?
I feel like there's been more.
Right. It's no magic mic.
But also like.
It's so, the whole movie is so beautiful.
Yeah. I'm going to go 89. Yeah.
I'm going to go 83.
I'll go 88. Given an average of 86.67. All right, our next category, entrances with pizzazz.
It's not like a pizzazzy movie.
Not really. The only thing I liked was like when we first see Ennis and Jack, like you kind of get a sense of them, who they are right away.
I said Gyllenhaal in that jalopy as he like is like.
I wrote jalopy.
That's what, oh my God. we've been doing this podcast together for a long time.
But then also I like that Ennis, like Heath, is so like curled up into himself, you know, his like physicality of like, he is like repressed. He is like guarded. He is a tough nut.
What I think is sort of an interesting debate about this movie is if those two characters had not met each other, I feel like Gyllenhaal still would have messed around with dudes, but I'm not entirely sure that Heath Ledger would have.
Yeah, I can see that.
Because Ledger doesn't hook up with any other guys, even though Gyllenhaal does.
Well, right? He seems a lot more repressed.
Yeah, he's a lot more repressed and a lot more traumatized about it.
And he seems less, like Gyllenhaal a couple times is like, well, what if we just do it?
Yeah, Gyllenhaal wants to be together.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. But also Heath Ledger seems like devoted, even though like he's in love with Jack in a way that I don't think he feels about anyone else.
No, I agree. Right. And I think that's what's so heartbreaking about this movie is like these two people genuinely love each other, and society's stupidity is what's causing all this misery in their lives and in the lives of other people. Mm-hmm.
And in the end, don't you just kind of wish like, ugh, you might as well just go for it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I know it seems impossible, but life is short. So you just have to like fucking go for it.
Yeah.
Entrances with pizzazz, Ruha.
What about the rodeo? Sometimes I like come out like, the rodeo and there's sort of fun stuff there.
Yeah, there's the rodeo things are fun. And I feel like every time there is some, even though it's so slow and builds, like the grandiosity of the way like you see them over time is every moment, every entrance or re-entrance into each other's lives.
You're excited does to see feel them get together again.
Sort of pizzazzy in a different way.
Like, I do like how it's like
not they, Liza Minnelli pizzazz. Yeah. No.
But it's filled with electricity, nevertheless. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They never do a thing of where it's like cutting to the TV and like President Johnson was just inaugurated. Like they're never doing like ham-fisted ways to tell you what year it is or anything. Mm-hmm. You just have to pay attention. Like, oh, those kids are older now.
Yeah. Even that like flashback, the last time they see each other, and it's just it's just like, yeah, he looks younger. He doesn't have his mustache, but that's
doesn't
all.
Have those goofy fake sideburns.
And you know it's, and you see like Heath holding him and telling him about the song his mom sang. And anyway, okay, so entrances with pizzazz. I'm gonna count the electricity between every moment they have as pizzazz, and
fair enough.
I am going to rate it pretty high. At 92.
92.
I'm gonna have to say, to me, I love this movie. It's not very pizzazzy, which I don't think is a detriment to it. Like I think it would be
more elegant
bad if it was like if they had like a sequined cowboy shirt on. But I will give it a 50.
50. John hates this movie and wish it was never made.
Yep. I want to string it around by its dick and leave it in a ditch.
I'm sure you do.
Some of those rodeo shirts were pretty pizzazzy. Is all
that's right. There's not an entrance with the pizzazz, but there's entrance with spit.
That's true.
That's true.
Which I don't think that was a good idea.
I don't think that counts.
Doesn't count, nor is it a good idea. Well, got a 70.67.
What did you give it, Mark?
I gave it a 70.
Oh, you didn't say that.
70, so it got an average of 70.67, which is 9 points higher than Beyond the Valley of the Dolls. No small feat.
Yeah.
All right, our next category, the Mike Pence anxiety scale. How much anxiety do you think this movie would give Mike Pence?
99.
Yeah.
He'd like the sheep.
Yeah.
Because I think it would hit close to. Yes. Like, I think there's like a lot
of anxiety.
Too
real.
Yeah.
He's like, I hope no one's looking at me as I watch this movie again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only thing like that Mike Pence would like about it was the sort of condemnation that these men had to deal with, but I'm going 99 as well.
99. I did look at Christian Spotlight on the movies to see what they thought of Brokeback Mountain. They did think it was extremely offensive, but they did give it 5 out of 5 for filmmaking quality. So they are able to swallow
I love
these
how all
logics.
These people are like,
it's a beautiful,
I mean,
heartfelt,
it's a great
wonderful
film.
Movie.
I was moved, film. But two dudes kissing. So,
but they
how
thought
dare they?
They thought they were definitely in lust, not love. Like, lust will not sustain you for 20 years, you dingbats. Ugh.
You're not driving 14 hours for lust.
No.
And although you're if it's fucking first time, a maybe. Lot more often.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to give it 100. I don't see why not. giving it a 99.33, which is tying it for the highest with Beyond the Valley of the Dolls.
Okay.
Which makes sense. All right. Our next category, Hell on Heels. And by this, we mean feisty ladies.
Okay.
No. Well, Lurline, I would say Lurline's probably the feistiest of them all.
Lurline's the feistiest, but Alma's got her own.
Alma has her moments.
Quiet feist. Yeah. Jack Nasty.
But she, I don't know. She's sort of like, she does swallow Jack a lot. Nasty.
Excuse me? Pretty... I think that's part of the problem.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Well, she's on these fishing trips. So as she said,
I mean, even that scene where she like describes the note and everything, but she doesn't ever say, and I saw you making out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if she was truly hell on heels at that moment, she would have been like, oh, hell no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A fight on Thanksgiving. Heartbreaking.
And the way Anne Hathaway, when Ennis calls after he knows Jack's dead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Even though like she doesn't know, you can tell that there's like,
well, she said
a sort of understanding.
Yeah. She actually said that they recorded two different versions of that, one where she knows that it was like a gay bashing, and one where it was like, oh, this accident happened. And she, Anne Hathaway herself, did not know what Ang Lee was going to use in the movie.
Oof,
and she said that they used, it wasn't like they went with one take or the other. They edited different parts, they mixed it in.
And in the
also
end,
also feels like she knows that Ennis is,
I think she's
his lover.
Yes. Because otherwise, why would he want the ashes to be spread at Brokeback Mountain? Yeah. But the death, I think, of Jack is deliberately ambiguous.
Yes.
I don't think we know for sure.
Because it plays in a way that you don't know if that's Ennis.
No, I think that's Ennis imagining
of it.
Could be Ennis imagining it.
I agree with Mark. Yeah. I think potentially it's just Ennis is sure that that's what must have happened because that's how Ennis feels.
That's so much of like
the showed by his father earlier.
I think so much of like the insidiousness of the homophobia is that how it's how internal it is.
Yes.
Like you didn't, Ennis didn't need anyone else to reaffirm it for the rest of his life. Like he was doing it to himself.
That thing happened when he was very young with his father.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like,
I think
that's
it's interesting,
been
but I interpret it as that's what actually happened.
Well, I do think that's a possibility as well. I think it's supposed to play
thank
it could
you.
Be
thank you,
either.
Ruha. Thank you.
It could be either, but I've never felt sure that we know which one.
And it's okay not knowing.
Yeah.
Are you comfortable with ambiguity, John?
I am.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with you attacking me.
I'm not attacking. A challenge.
A
rebuttal.
You're wrong.
Attack?
That's an attack.
Okay, so Hell on Heels is where
Hell on Heels.
Hell on Heels.
Like 75.
75.
Yeah.
I think unfortunately it's pretty low on this one for me. I'm gonna go 35.
35. Yeah, I'll go 30. Giving an average of 46 point out of 46.
No, it's one of those things I was so generous badly about because I don't feel like it is, I don't feel dramatically is a detriment to the film. You know what I mean? Like I didn't want, like I thought again, like Michelle Williams, I know I keep talking about her, like her, like what she's dealing with and her heartbreak was so moving to me because, you know what I mean? And that to feel like, oh, she's a victim of all this homophobia as well. Like it's not just these two guys, it's her as well. But she's not a strident. Well, like this was formerly strident women. She's not a strident woman. And so in that way.
No, I think both of your rankings were actually closer to accurate.
And
we'll
keep
yours.
We'll keep mine.
We will check our answers at the end to see who was correct. Yeah.
I think if anything, Linda Cardellini has the biggest moment out Ennis, and still that's not like, it's still quiet. Everything about this movie is quiet. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, our next category might also be quiet. Chosen family. I mean, that's the problem. They aren't doing it. They aren't choosing the chosen. Yeah. It's all pretty heteronormative.
Yeah.
We never see like a community. I guess maybe Hooker Alley.
Yeah, but
is that a chosen family? Where's their mini series?
So.
You can do a mini series out of that.
Come on, Netflix, get on this.
Brokeback
expanded
prequel?
Brokeback Mountain universe.
Yeah.
I mean, because the only attempt is to actually be together, and that's just their relationship. Anyway.
Yeah.
But there's
You could say like Jake Gyllenhaal keeps trying to be like, let's make this happen. Let's try to make this happen. Let's try to make this happen. Like he's trying to make that choice.
Yeah, but
I know, but he's fighting
friends
for that choice. So
they don't have they don't have their people though.
Yeah.
Like
there's
like
no family, like a gay straight alliance at the rodeo or any sort of
or like their friend that like knows about and is supportive.
Yeah, you'd think that rodeo clown would be like, it's okay, girl. In. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The least sassy clown you've ever seen.
Oh, fuck that guy.
Chosen he family, tried. I'm going to say 10.
A 10.
Yeah, 10 sounds right. I'll go 10 as well.
10. I'm going to give it a 7. For what? I don't know. Give it an average.
9.
Of 9. Okay. My one thing I have to do is say that average.
The only thing you have to do.
The only thing I have to do is say these numbers. All right. Our next category, macabre. How macabre is Brokeback Mountain? It's surprisingly more macabre than I remembered.
I think so. I think that, like, again, that guy getting rode around until his dick came off, like, that's pretty dark and macabre.
Yeah.
You think?
That story.
You think that much? And also, like, seeing it through the kids' eyes.
So fucked up.
The sheep, the full,
just
like,
homophobia in general.
Yeah.
Also, the sheep being slaughtered like that after they chose to be together. Yeah.
A little on the nose. Okay, yeah. Angley, we get it.
We get it. A sheep died.
I was thinking about that this last time, because before I thought, like, I remember, like, years ago thinking, like, oh, it's like almost like God is saying that, like, the world is saying. But I think, like, a slaughtered sheep isn't that uncommon in this show. It's not. But I think Ennis is the one making that connection.
No,
he's
Ennis
the one
is like,
the sheep at that moment.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be there that night. He wasn't because he fucked Jack. This sheep's dead.
Yeah.
And
I also, I think
I know
Jack,
it's not.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
sorry.
I know it's not like traditionally macabre, but there's something very like in the style vein of like leading to it when they're first herding the sheep up and they have that one like little baby one just in a sack and then it's on it's on Jack's lap.
Yeah,
it was like, I don't know, removing a splinter or something from its paw. Like, there's
you thought that was macabre? I thought that was cute.
It's very cute, but like it's very cute, but it I don't know, there's something about it that reminds me of it being in like a gothic macabre sort of story, like the suffering animal and
that's true.
The like
being
sure
herded.
There's something
a little
something
over the top
about that.
Yeah.
There's also over like the hail coming down, that was kind
removing
of
a splinter
and...
from a sheep. It's over the top.
Well, the way it was straddled on his lap, I don't know, the
it was
the,
almost
that
biblical
really
it looked like biblical. I did think when Ennis goes, when Ennis goes to Jack's family home, it's like this stark white, like that is like fucked up. They're doing some culty shit there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah,
that was like dark.
Yeah,
and then also like Ennis's tragic parent, like his parents died in a crash when he was a kid. Mm-hmm. Finding out someone's dead by that deceased stamp. Like brutal.
Oh, yes, brutal.
Oof. Imagine, I was just thinking, like, oh, how did they like it's so rude that people are late in the day of cell phones. Like back
so rude.
70 years ago, so you had to like send a postcard and like, hey, I hope I'll see you in 3 months.
Yeah.
Maybe in a bus stop in 3 months.
Yeah.
I'll be there on this day. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I guess, and like
I'll wait for 3 hours.
People would wait.
Case...
Yeah. No, now you can't, like, send a postcard like, hey, we still on for meeting at the Duluth bus stop in 2 months? Yeah.
But that's why people had to be like,
you had
keeping
to be
their
on
word because
yeah.
they're just like,
yeah,
there's no way to let them know.
Cell phones have spoiled us.
We're so spoiled. We're really useless. Now.
I can't remember.
People
the last
had to survive
I
a lot.
Remembered
more.
A 10 digit number.
But yeah, and the scene we already talked about of seeing Jake's death.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, whether it is in Ennis's interpretation of what happened or if that was reality. So yeah, it is higher than I would have thought on the scale, even though I don't consider it overall that vibe.
Right.
Right.
It's no Adam's family.
60?
60.
I'll go 63.
63, trying to one up you. I'll go 60. Why not? Give an average of 61, which is, I don't know, 24 points higher than Ebbett Otter's Jug Band Christmas.
Well, that's big.
That's
big. That's huge. You had that in your sights. All right, our next category, dramatic lighting.
Oh, this has a lot of dramatic lighting.
I think so. Yeah.
Especially with the nature. I mean, it's just so gorgeous.
That cinematography is gorgeous.
Absolutely gorgeous.
If you want dappled sunlight, watch Brokeback Mountain.
When do I not want dappled sunlight, Mark?
Thank you.
I don't know. If you're watching The Crow, you might not want it.
But you'd get a lot more macabre from that.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Do I want dappled or macabre?
The one part you really see dramatic lighting is when like Jack is up on the mountain and he looks down and sees Ennis's campfire.
Uh-huh.
Like the whole world is blue except for the one little bright warm light of Ennis.
Yeah.
That's nice.
I feel like the way it plays with light throughout, even though a lot of it is just like sunlight or moonlight, is mm-hmm. very dramatic and striking.
Yeah. Like
even
Ennis's
the way
apartment
Ennis goes
is...
into that dark alley.
Oh, yeah.
Walking down the street, his apartment.
His apartment when, with like yeah. Michelle Williams is so like drab and dour and like mm-hmm. cold. But then they go out into the country on their fishing trips.
And
everything's
it's so
beautiful,
glorious.
Lush. Yes. The sky yeah. is blue.
At the very end, his little trailer is like the dingiest, darkest.
The saddest trailer.
Base we've ever been in that he has. And
he needs a sofa in that trailer.
Yeah, but then he sees their somewhere t-shirts to together and looks out the window and it's like that beautiful Brokeback still out there. Oh.
Well.
Okay, but yeah, I think lighting is used very well.
Yeah.
And even the dark like rodeo or the dark alley in Mexico, or you know, like every shot is particularly captivating in lighting.
It's also that fireworks when that's that one like trailer moment where like Ennis is just standing there on the hill and like the fireworks are going off behind him.
Yeah.
Great.
Oh, so good. Yeah, I'm gonna give it 92.
I think it is beautiful, but I don't think like the lighting is like there's not like shafts of light or like key lights on the eyes or something like that to really like amp up the drama, which again I don't think is like a detriment to the movie, but I think
it shouldn't it'd be a different movie.
It does doesn't
it's
want
a totally
that
different movie.
So I will give it an 80.
80 for not being Adam's Family.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I'll give it a 93, giving it an average of 88.33, which is 1.4 points higher than The House of Yes now.
Oh my goodness.
All right, finally, Ruha, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Brokeback Mountain to a gay person?
This question is very funny and very charged, because why would I be recommending it to a gay person?
They haven't seen it.
Right. Here's my with this question. Imagine you're having brunch. Name a gay person you know who's not.
I don't know any.
They keep them out of their lives.
Right.
I don't have a chosen family. I don't.
No, you choose not to.
I only like cishet.
Thank you.
I don't know, Oscar.
Right, so you and Oscar are having brunch.
Yeah.
And Oscar's like, you know, I've never seen Brokeback Mountain. What do you say?
I say see it 100%.
There you go.
You say, put down your frittata.
We're leaving.
I've just bought it. We're going to my house and we're watching
throwing cash at the waiter.
Yes. He's gonna say, really? He's gonna have some reason he hasn't seen it.
He's
gonna
want to
like,
do like a
just see it.
Dance. And you're like, Oscar, there's no debate right
up.
Now. Yeah. We're going.
We're like, let's just watch it.
Let's just watch it.
Yeah.
So 100.
Yeah. 100. Yeah, there's no way. Even if I'm like, I can't even imagine a gay person who I'd be like, you won't like it, but you should still see it. You should see it. Like there's some movies where I'm like, you won't like, you know, like where I'm like, this isn't your thing, but you should see it because of the reference and the status of the film or whatever. But this is just like, it's a beautiful, gorgeous film. You absolutely 100% should see it. Yeah.
It's 100. I think it's just one of my favorite movies of all time.
Like better than Crash?
Yes. Like I can't think of a thing I would want to change. I will even like allow Anne Hathaway to be
wow. She will sleep easy tonight.
I'm sure she's so happy to hear that. Oh, all of her friends are going like, Anne, way to hear this episode of a podcast from some queen you've never heard of.
John came around,
Anne.
It happened. I will also give it 100. It's an essential piece of cinema, queer or otherwise, I
Indeed.
Would say. I mean, it's got also the Oscar scandal of it all.
Yes.
Not so the fact perfect. That he hasn't seen it. I mean, the Academy Awards.
Right.
Oscar might have seen it. I am pretty sure he has. Have we talked about it? No, I'll ask him later.
Oh, that's interesting. You haven't talked about it? Interesting.
Yeah, I assumed because we became friends like 20 years after he came out.
Before I agree to go have drinks with you, I have a few questions.
Well, I got 100, which is it's the first movie to get that in 17 movies.
All right, at least
At least I just want to see really quick if any other movie has gotten 100. Nope. Hold on, I have to go to different tabs.
I'm sure Showgirls must have gotten 100 on this.
Come on, Showgirls.
Wizard of Oz.
Mommy Dearest. Wizard of Oz. Yeah,
Apple,
yeah, okay, yeah.
Apple
There's a bunch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Madonna, Truth or Dare.
Yeah.
Female Trouble.
Female Trouble, probably. Yeah. Anyways, all right. Well, now we are into the bonus category.
No, we are not.
Now we are into the wheel categories.
Remember that? So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them all on this wheel, which is an app on my phone. So what's going to happen is this. We're going to spin it once. Whatever category randomly pops up, that's how we're going to judge the movie.
Okay.
Then I'm going to pick a category from the wheel. Then Mark is going to pick a category from the wheel. And finally, you, Ruha, will come up with a category which we will add to the wheel, which we will use to judge this movie and potentially all future movies. Who knows? You never know. All right. You ready? Here we go. Yeah. Spinning the wheel.
Does this movie make you want to go horseback riding?
In theory. I don't really want to go horseback.
Okay, well, the wheel, Ruha, is undeniably on your side. From Fried Green Tomatoes, Bucking Heteronormativity.
Ooh.
I mean, bucking like a bronco, yeah, like a cowboy, heteronormativity.
It's true. And in some ways, that is like the essential like struggle of them of trying to buck in. And in the end, they almost aren't able to, you know,
but that is the tension. That is the dramatic tension of the movie. Can they do it? It is the reason this the raison d'etre of Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, excuse me. Someone knows what Les Miserables means in English.
I've been to Paris. I know some things.
I've been to Paris.
I haven't been to Paris.
I was
Paris, Texas.
Oh.
France.
Nice.
I was too young to like really be like I've been to Paris.
You haven't like had like a, you know, a baguette and a
you
cafe
don't remember the
baguette smoking
of Paris,
I haven't had like my adult fantasy Paris trip. I went with my grandparents. I was homesick. I tried to order lemonade. It was a $20 lemon and water. I was furious.
They charge you $20.
Lemons in Paris are very rare.
I don't know. It was a lot. I just remember my grandfather getting really mad.
I don't blame him. I once had a chimichanga in Amsterdam that had kidney beans in it.
Ew.
Talk outrage. Yeah.
Did you flip that table over before you left?
No, it's on me. It's like, why am I getting a chimichanga in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
I'm from California. I can get a good chimichanga anytime I want.
You were in the mood.
I was in the mood. I'm not.
When you want a chimichanga, you want a chimichanga.
Yeah.
Nothing else is going to scratch that itch.
But certainly not the kidney bean one.
No.
No. It's horrifying.
But yeah,
so Bucking Heteronormativity.
Bucking Heteronormativity feels like it could be the alt title of Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
For both parts of those words, bucking and heteronormativity.
It's like very high in that struggle. Like,
yes.
I don't know if it does a good, like, am I rating it on actually bucking it? Like,
or just how much is,
you know, but the struggle is there.
The theme
is
there.
Yeah, I guess because it doesn't fully buck it, but the theme is so strong, I'll go like 75.
75.
I think because it's all about that, and I agree, like they don't actually do it. Like if they were like, fuck it, we're starting our own farm, it would be 100.
Fuck it, we're bucking it.
Fuck it, we're fuck it, but yeah, I'm going to go
fuck
to
it,
90.
Let's fuck it.
What was that again?
Fuck it, let's buck it.
Fuck it, let's buck it.
Fuck it, we're bucking, yeah.
I should go a little higher.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
I am going to say, because they do, for as much as they don't buck it, they buck it.
They do buck it. They buck it when no one's looking.
They do buck it when no one's looking, and that's a big deal for them bucking it.
Yeah.
They'll buck it in a tent.
Yeah.
No problem.
So I'm gonna inch it up to 84.
84. That's hardly an inch. That's seven.
Yeah, but because they do, they buck it. It's a big deal how much they're bucking it.
There's some hot bucking.
There's a whole lot of hot bucking. I'm going to go 97.
97. Mm. Yeah, I'll go 95.
Ooh.
An average of 92. Very good. All right, John, the time has come for you to pick a category. What's it going to be?
Okay, I'm picking a category from a movie that I know Mark hates to reference, but this is from
Funny
All
Girl.
I Want is Christmas / Ira Finkelstein's Christmas / Switchmas, and that is Self-Loathing.
Ooh.
And I feel like, unfortunately, this movie is full of self-loathing. Mm-hmm. These are characters who are love each other, wish they didn't love each other, hate what it's doing to themselves in their lives. And I feel like it is unfortunate and sad that it is the theme of this movie, but it is a profound theme of this movie. So again, I am going with All I Want Is Christmas / Ira Finkelstein's Christmas / Switchmas with self-loathing.
Yeah.
I thought about that. I don't know. Like, there is a theme, but I don't, like, to me, like, the biggest part of it is, like, after, like, Ennis, like, vomits and then, like, punches the wall.
Yeah, because he yells, hates
what the fuck
that
are you looking at?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is what his world is.
I mean, I think the strongest self-loathing is with Ennis, obviously.
Yes. Yeah, I feel like Jack is more like, hey, Ennis, let's go. What are you waiting for? Like, I think Jack has less self-loathing than Ennis.
He has less, but he still marries a woman, has kids, and like tries to commit to having a sort of traditional life.
But he wants out and he wants to do this other thing. And he
they both
would
want out. Yeah,
it.
But they both try to make the other one work.
Yeah. But Jack would do it more. I agree with Mark, even though he does give into a lot of the heteronormativity that he's supposed to do. He's ready to leave and to like live his authentic life.
Yes.
With the person.
What's interesting too about that is we see more, I guess it's because Heath Ledger's character is more of like a loner, but we see everywhere Jake Gyllenhaal goes is like his father-in-law. It totally like disregards him. Like at work, he's like, he is constantly treated as if he is gay.
Yeah.
Or as if he is not a man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I like that. There's not like a scene in this movie where it's like, you fag. You know what I mean? They never go like explicit and over the top. It's all like really like microaggressions, as they would say.
Sure.
You know, it's all like kind of like, it feels like played very real. Like no one just comes out and says it, but it's all pretty subtle.
Right. They don't
but
use words that they wouldn't have used, language or words they wouldn't have used in that time.
Yeah. Even that, like, that even that rodeo clown that he tries to like buy a drink for, like the way he treats Jack, it's like,
it's clear.
It's clear. But he never like says anything direct and horrible like that. But I do feel like the self-loathing is so strong with Ennis that it kind of carries over to like a loathing of life even for Jack, because Jack is so frustrated by the situation. Mm-hmm. And Jack must have a decent amount of self-loathing to even like, it's this weird mix of like, oh, you really are in love with this person, so you're dealing with it and putting yourself through. But that statement of like, I wish I knew how to quit you, like he's suffering as much as he like loves him. This is also a miserable situation that he's suffering through, so I'm gonna put it high at 94.
I'm gonna go 98.
I'm going to go 80.
80?
80? Really?
I'm going 80. What do you want?
Why? Well, talk about it. Unpack it.
Yeah.
Because it is there, but I think there's some, like, there's almost more of, like, resigned acceptance to all of them. Mm. Like, I don't feel like, there's no scene where they're like, I wish I didn't feel this way. I wish I would.
He literally says, I wish I could quit you.
I mean, in terms of,
and you're
of,
saying
like,
that scene's not there.
No. I just mean in terms of, I wish I wasn't who I am. I wish I wasn't like
how
gay.
Is I wish I could quit you is not that.
That feels
also,
more like
Ennis
a relationship.
Like,
punches a wall.
Ennis says to
I'm
Jack, I wouldn't
an
80. Be this way if it wasn't for you, Jack.
I think your argument is, I think you're just being contrarian, but go ahead. Give it
well,
an
don't
80.
Bully me, John.
Oh, okay, Mark.
When you can say whatever you want to me.
Uh-huh, sure.
I'm giving it an 80. Giving it a 90.67. Hey, that's pretty high. That's a lot of self-loathing. Like if Ennis had a perfume, it might be self-loathing.
Sure.
All right. I had two I could have gone with here. But I think I'm going to score higher points with this one from Mermaids with our friend Santina Muha, Forbidden Love.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if they were allowed to fuck, this is a 15-minute short.
It's and what a hot short.
I'd say very 40 hot
minutes. I'd be happy with 45 minutes.
I mean, yet another alt title.
Yes.
Brokeback Mountain or Bucking Heather Normativity or Forbidden Love.
Forbidden Love.
Yeah, I mean, 99.
I'm going 100. Without Forbidden Love, you have no movie.
Honestly,
all you have
John's
is a meet cute.
Yeah.
We met while herding sheep. Anyway,
I changed to 100.
All right. Well, it got 100. All right, Ruha, the time has come for you to come up with a category that we can use to judge how gay Brokeback Mountain is in all subsequent movies when we throw it on the wheel.
Okay.
Any thoughts?
I feel like it should be cowboy related.
Oh.
Okay.
Giddy up?
Nope, yeah, I like giddy
up.
You're
not getting an argument. Okay.
I like giddy up.
But what does that mean? I mean,
scale
I like
one
it as a phrase.
0 to 100. How giddy up is this movie?
Yeah, I think you loved
it. It's pretty giddy up. Could just be hot cowboys.
Hot cowboys. I was like, is there something about chaps? But I think it's just hot cowboys.
Hot cowboys.
So hot cowboys.
Hot cowboys. Yeah.
The more hot cowboys in a movie, the gayer.
Or hot cow people.
Hot cow people. Thank you.
Cow persons.
Hot cow. Cowboys. Hot cow. Cowgirls. Cow persons.
Hot cow persons.
Hot cow persons. Okay.
Or cowboys, but we know it means persons.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Who knows what other movies are coming down the pike?
Yeah.
All right, hot cowboys,
hot cow persons,
and on that scale, 100, yeah. Baby.
Okay, right.
Yeah.
Honestly, I forgot. Probably because I didn't know. I wasn't aware of David Harbour before. When I first saw Brokeback Mountain.
Yeah, yeah.
But I was like, oh shit. Could there be more man candy in this movie? Yeah.
Did you like bang on the wall? Like, honey, get in here. David Harbour's in this.
I was like, go to sleep. Go to sleep. Nothing's
pull my ship
here.
Into that harbor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Pull your dinghy into that harbor.
Also that rodeo clown. Also like Anne Hathaway. That
she's hot.
Hot cow girl.
Yeah.
He is hella hot.
She's super
rodeo.
Hot.
Yeah.
I'll give it a 97.
97. I'll give it 100. It's mostly hot cowboys. I'm giving an average of 99. All right. Now we're into the bonus category.
So these categories, as their name implies, are just bonus. So this is extra points. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, don't worry about it. It's not going to work against the overall score. So these are just bonus points. So we're scoring it from 0 to 10. And that's how many percentage bonus points it's going to get.
Okay, cool.
All right. The first one is musical potential. Could you see Brokeback Mountain being turned into a musical?
Yeah,
I will say this. There is an opera of Brokeback Mountain.
I listened to the overture.
Oh, yeah?
I would love to see this score in a full musical version. I think the score, because the score is so good, as we've talked about.
Yes.
I think that's the first step towards a good musical, and it's a good epic love story. Like,
it's a love story.
To me,
musicals
that's
love.
What you need. Yeah.
Not too many characters.
Yeah.
No. But enough. You have
although
a little
sheep.
Bit of Oklahoma.
I guess you could like sheep. Lion King the sheep.
Yes.
Just have people with headpieces like I represent 5 sheep. Great.
Right.
And they say that.
Several
and they sing
arm,
a song about
hello.
It.
Yeah. We
each
represent
one of us is
the sheep. We are the sheep. We
it's
are
writing
the
itself.
Sheep. My entrails.
If there was
my
like
entrails.
if there was like an artist who like, oh, we're gonna use their music, like a jukebox musical of Brokeback, who would we use?
I don't know that I would use an entire artist, but that Eminem Rihanna song, Love the Way You Lie, that would definitely be in it.
Okay.
That fits the vibe of Brokeback, but that puts you in
the
mind.
Yes, the two of them fighting. Yes, it's perfect.
Well, I think the original score person is...
The original
you would want a little more like...
Is where
Gustavo Sandovalo, I think.
But if there's jukebox with that, I mean, I guess...
The Eagles?
Lil Nas X.
Lil Nas X. Oh, he's perfect. Yes.
Perfect.
Mitski
Old
is Wayne
Road. Old Town Road. Come on. That's a great opening
Old
number.
Old Town Road.
We just do all different, so many remixes of it.
Yeah.
This is the sheep version.
It's just the Gustavo
Sheep Extravaganza. Yes.
Lil Nas X. He does have a song called Rodeo as well.
There you go.
Yeah,
there you go.
It writes right, itself.
Perfect. So, what do you want to give this for musical potential on a scale of 0 to 10%?
10.
10.
I'll also give it a 10.
A 10.
I truly actually can't believe it hasn't happened now that
they got that opera, which doesn't sound like anyone's busting the door down to watch.
I didn't hear about the opera, but
you guys
like
are so plugged
music.
Into opera companies. You're like, I have subscriptions to are doing Brokeback Mountain.
I looked at everywhere it's performed. It didn't seem like it hit anywhere. It seemed like it was like a good, not a huge blockbuster, is what I'm saying.
Sure, it's no magic flute. Sure, you're right.
Yeah,
it wasn't. It didn't like replicate the movie success in the opera world. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm
I will say, if it was an
I
opera,
don't know that
I would
have
want
a good
it to
sense
be.
Of what is successful or not successful.
Do you?
In the opera world.
I read the Wikipedia page.
Oh, so then you know. Okay.
So
great.
Where else where should I get my? Where are you getting your information from on it? You're just assuming I'm wrong. Thank you. That's what I thought.
Well, if it is an opera, exactly. I would love it if Gustavo collaborated with Philip.
He should.
I'm sure some themes were recreated.
It's like very like stark and like scary sounding. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which
like
I like.
Full macabre sure. Philip Glass opera.
A lot of black drapery.
1, 2, 3 sheep. 1, 2, 3 sheep. 1, 2, 3 sheep.
Yeah. The sheep all climbing the stage. And it's like, how does this look so interesting?
That's mm-hmm. almost like a Silence of the Lambs kind of like creepy, creepy. Sheep, lamb, mm-hmm. things. Yeah. They're the same. All right, our next category, queer menace. Queer menace? Yeah.
I mean, that rodeo clown was rude to Gyllenhaal. That was sort of like queer menace-y.
But he, like, you think the clown was here. Queer?
No, but I feel like he was saying to Gyllenhaal that you are a queer menace.
Mm.
I mean, yeah, the way the queer people are treated as though they're
and like
queer
the way
menaces.
That like their love was like threatening to everyone in their world.
The way that Ennis felt that queerness is a menace from mm-hmm. his childhood when he saw
queerness
but
itself
not,
is the menace, but that's not quite. It's not yeah. Elvira coming to a stuck
yeah.
up small
correct.
Town.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Frankenstein it's not too long coming to town. Right. No.
No.
When Frankenstein comes to town, he gives everyone a makeover.
Yeah. This is definitely
hey girl.
Like they're too scared to be the queer menace.
He's gonna right. be Frank.
So yeah, I think it's low on that.
Yeah. So what do you want? What do you think?
Three.
Three.
I'll go three as well.
Three. Yeah, I'll go three. Giving it an average of three. Tying it with nothing. All right, our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. I think Anne Hathaway's Texas accent.
That's true.
Like, that is very much
very
like
House of Gucci. Yes.
It's very movie Texas. It's very like, I'm doing a movie. I'm working my ad machine.
Right.
Yeah,
dudes listen to Best Little Whorehouse goes yeah. in Texas.
But
recording.
I do like it. I think it's really fun. I think she's really good in this.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things that she's in. Like yeah. of her in it is.
Yes.
She's doing
the,
a good
the
job.
The Hathaway oeuvre. Perfect bounds your top three.
Yeah. Like, oh, she doesn't bother me in it. You know, because we know she's not my favorite.
Not
but
detriment.
I'm like, she's actually she doesn't hurt it, and she's kind of right. good.
I believe her in this role of a rich
yeah.
woman.
Yeah.
But I don't think like, I mean, it's not a woman's movie. I feel like,
no.
to me, like no. the great female performance is Michelle Williams and right. it is so understated and it's
yes.
so like,
yes.
it's such a performance that could really only, the impact really is felt in film. You know what I mean? Like you couldn't have this in stage. I don't know.
You couldn't read this as a book.
Version.
Right,
right. You know,
no,
it's just
it's
like
a
so
smoldering
much of just,
intensity.
It's not
yeah.
on the page. It's just what she's bringing yeah. to it, which is so exciting about it.
Was
don't we go to the movies for
met?
Quiet desperation? I think it was.
I don't know if this is where they met, but they were together and they broke up before it came out. But they had a daughter. I think they probably met before this, is my guess.
Okay, I wasn't sure if they were together when they made this or if this was how they got together. I had a vague feeling it was one of those.
Yeah,
because
apparently,
one of the
IMDb they either
trivia
knew each
things.
Other or didn't.
It's either sure where they met or they were together when
they had already.
And
met.
I'm sure of
this. Yeah, wow.
So
met at the read through.
I can't
before.
Get you there. I can't
I
that logic.
But yeah, I agree. Like the only swing is Anne Hathaway. I do like the way Jake Gyllenhaal's mom plays it.
Oh yeah,
it's sure. like. A quiet
she's a quiet I'll help you out yeah.
and I'll help mm-hmm. you and what have you but yeah like it's not a like it's not what I think of when I'm like oh a big female
yeah
character
right
swing.
It's crazy this is not about this is now about Heath Ledger but like watching this and then like oh and then he was like the Joker like this iconic right. performance is like what the same person playing someone so repressed versus someone so outwardly like
right
anarchic
yeah
right.
the same guy did that he's incredible.
So
what do you want to get okay. for character actress makes a big swing?
Four.
I'm
just for
give
Anne.
I'll give it a one.
A one. I'll give it a two. given an average of 2.33, which is 1 point higher than To Grandmother's House We Go. Sorry, the Olsen Twins. Also a horse movie.
Yeah.
All right, our next category, witches. How witchy is this movie?
Not very witchy.
Again, the bonus, if it doesn't do well, it doesn't work against it.
Well, listen, okay, what do we know about witches? A lot of it's
Wiccan,
nature.
Right.
So a lot of it's nature. There's a lot of nature in this. There's storm elements, there's right, there's hail, water, there's summons, fire, there's
postcards,
there's a dead like blood spells of an animal.
But the difference between them, these guys, and like witches are trying, like nature is something we worship.
Right.
And like
they're
revere,
not using it. Yeah.
They are doing, we control nature. We are in charge of nature.
Yeah. So, and
anti-witch.
Their love is magic, but nobody's intentionally.
Oh, a spell.
Doing and the movie dreams. Casts a spell on us, though.
Yeah. I'm okay. And for that, I'll give it a one.
Okay. Fair enough. For this, yes. For
although it basically is zero.
Yeah. I'll give it a one as well.
I'll give it a one for the spell that was cast. Hey, it tied it with the Tremors for witchy.
Okay,
that's pretty good. All right, our next one, gay actors playing gay roles.
Zero.
Unfortunately.
Yeah,
that's the heartbreaker.
I mean, you know, at least there are
one hears rumors of Jake Gyllenhaal, but yeah, none of them are self-identifying.
Yeah, exactly, they're not self-identifying. I'm like, you never know with artists, but
right
but yeah, they're self-identified as cishet.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Yeah.
I'll give it a one just because Jake Gyllenhaal was in a revival of Sunny in the Park with George.
Fair enough. How was he?
I didn't see it, but on the cast recording, he's lovely.
Are none of the women even bi?
But they're not playing bi.
I feel that's true. Yeah, they're not playing a gay role. We don't know about that hustler in the alley. Do we know? Do we research him?
No, didn't get around to it.
I'm going to go with zero.
Too busy.
Yeah.
Zero. Yeah.
Don't give it a one for George. I'll give it a zero. Giving it a 0.33%, tying it with Phantom Thread. Okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Our next category, themes of mothers.
Okay.
Not really. It's more like a wife movie than a mother movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, those wives have children, but it's not really about it.
And like you see Jack's mother at the end, but it's not really about.
Right.
Yeah.
Mothers exist in this world, we know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not about motherhood. It's not about disappointing their mothers or wanting to please their mothers or their mothers.
Or that relationship.
It's okay, I love you, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't even see a thing of mother's cookies.
We don't even see mother's cookies.
If there's no
bastards.
Cookies equals themes.
Yeah, so, that's in my book.
I'm going to say one.
E.L. Fudge? Get out of here. A one.
You Keebler. I'll give it a 0.5.
0.5.
Just for that one scene where Heath Ledger is fucking Michelle Williams and he's like, you won't have more of my children, which is not cool to call them your children. But her saying like, well, if you could support them, I would have them.
Yeah, that really
put a kibosh
on the mood, huh?
Yeah.
That put a kibosh on everything.
Yeah.
He was having a difficult time having an erection and regardless at that point. And then to emasculate him at that point was like, come on.
Yeah, he was like, you're on top of me looking at me with those tits.
Judging, knowing I don't like this. How dare you? I'll give it a one. Giving it an average of 0.83%, which is tied with the Princess Switch.
All right.
We're in the home stretch here. The next category, drinks thrown in faces.
I would say this thematically, when the rodeo clown is like, go fuck yourself to Jake Gyllenhaal, that feels like it because it's an offer of a drink and he throws it back at him and says no.
Yeah.
There's something there.
What about the bear in the river? He's kind of like saying, hey, get the fuck out of here.
That bear in the river does throw a drink in the face.
Right,
he
splashes.
He has a little martini.
Like, no.
A bear teeny.
Yeah. Should have mentioned that bear for actual gay characters.
And Jack Twist standing up to his father-in-law at like Thanksgiving feels like a little like drink in the
bottle. I will say this. When he backs down, it felt very... That was the one moment I was like, he really just like shut down so quickly. But
I think it went to show that like Jack doesn't stand up for himself. And
I agree. But it felt like in that, if the father-in-law had been like that the first time Jack stood up for himself. I don't know that he would. He almost became robotic, where he's just like, "I'm not." He just like powered down.
Do you think though, for a cowboy, just like punching each other in the face is a drink thrown in the face?
Yeah,
in
I guess so. Yeah. And they do that.
They do that. That's like their first fight.
Yeah.
But what do you want to give it?
Ruhon? So three.
A three.
I'll go three as well.
I'll also go three. Not a lot of. There's more. Beans spilled on tummies.
There's more beans spilled on tummies than drinks thrown in face.
Which is the least sassy thing that could ever happen, I think.
Although, speaking of the beans, when Ennis tells that guy they want soup, it was kind of throwing a drink in the grocery supplier's face. Yeah. Soup? I thought we talked about this. And he's like, okay, chicken beans. Yeah. Too soon to be getting sick of beans. And then the bear works with him to keep throwing the drink.
Yes. A real team effort. When I saw it at the Grove, everybody, when we saw that bear, went, yes. Anyway, our next category, quips. How quippy is Brokeback Mountain? So much humor.
The quick quips. Ennis?
I mean, these aren't quippy characters.
No. The funniest thing to me is that we've aforementioned Jack Twist, Jack Nasty, which is almost like, wait, did she really say that?
Hold on, rewind. I bought it so I can rewind.
And then she did it grounded and intense. Like, nasty.
Yeah, it's so funny.
That scene is a little drink face, you know. Sure. The intensity face. That it erupts between them very quickly, and she's like, "Get out."
What about the only traveling I've ever done is around the coffee pot looking for the handle?
That's pretty good.
That's something you would see on like a
on a coffee mug,
on those quilted sayings.
Oh, sure. Across
what do they call those? I don't know.
Needlepoint. What?
A needlepoint. Yeah.
like a needlepoint. Yeah. Correct. Quote.
Fast or slow? I like the direction you're going.
Yeah. These are good little quotes.
These are good little quotes, but not exactly like
they're quips. Not exactly quips.
Not exactly quips.
One.
A one.
I'll give it a one as well.
A one. I'll give it a two for Jack Quip, Jack Nasty. Give an average of 1.33. All right. Now we're into the iconic category.
So these categories, as their name implies, are iconic. So they're larger, sort of more umbrella categories. So these are 0 to 200.
Oh, okay.
Big. All right. The first one, Ruhon, how would you score Brokeback Mountain in homoeroticism?
Oh,
it's pretty high, I think.
200.
Fair enough.
Yeah, there's, I mean, it's all about sort of like the wanting, the desire. I will give it, but it's not, you never really get like the porn scene.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? So for me, I'm going to give it a 190.
I do like that. I feel like I like their first night in the tent is just like fucking and like it's raw. But then the second night is so like tender and lovely and like it's so nice. And then also the whole thing like David Harbour inviting Jack to the cabin, like that's charged.
Definitely.
It's charged, baby.
Especially since like he doesn't make eye contact with Jake Gyllenhaal, which is what makes you know that like, oh, there's subtext here.
Also there's one like edit that I thought was funny, like when is the out of focus when Ennis is giving himself the whore's bath, cutting from that directly to Jack pissing. I mean, that's not for nothing.
That is not for nothing.
That's your thing.
What are you giving it, John? What'd you say?
190.
190. I'll go 190, giving an average of 193.33, which is indeed the highest we've ever had, which absolutely makes sense. All right, our next one. This one might be a little tougher. Drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Brokeback Mountain and come away with a whole book of ideas?
Honestly, kind of.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially as the pair.
Yeah. Because
you have Ennis in like the brown khaki and then Jack in all the denim. I think when you see them together, you'd say like, oh, that's Jack and Ennis.
Yeah. And the general sweeping themes from the rodeo and the vibe. And like, I could definitely see...
Lurleen has some very fun outfits.
Yeah, Lurleen has fun outfits, and I could definitely see like a full number inspired or like a lip
using the audio.
Using some
and Euphoria just did a tribute. They recreated the hugging thing.
Oh.
With Zendaya.
I am not caught up. Okay.
I just saw that.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. No, it's I like to wait for the season to be out and then I
watch it all.
To do your binge. Right.
Yeah. But I'm excited and I'm not, and that doesn't feel like a spoiler to me.
It's not too much.
Zendaya hug someone. Okay.
But also, it's not like the biggest, like, oh, obviously this would be.
Right. Yeah, I think there's nothing that feels like, oh, that's so specifically Brokeback Mountain, the look. You know what I mean?
But I still think it could really be inspirational and definitely I could see it happening.
So I could see Drag Kings having a field day.
Oh, Drag Kings. Sure. Absolutely. I feel like it's just, there's a lot of drag inspiration there. And I think, like you said, Queens could do a version of it too.
Yes.
Especially with like, quote, lip syncs and what have you. Mm-hmm. And aesthetics. So I'm going to go with 140.
140.
I think there's nothing to me. There's no like look that feels so specifically iconic.
The iconic shirts.
Yeah, but the two shirts on a
the
hanger.
The two shirts. Yeah,
you know them separately.
You're the hanger.
You're the hanger.
The queen's the hanger, and then you have the two shirts and the little postcard.
I'm gonna give it 100.
It's not pageanty, but it could be fun.
Also, sure. Yeah, Anne Hathaway's like rodeo look.
Yes.
Sure.
I'll give it a 140 as well, giving an average of 126.67, which is 20 points higher than Phantom Thread. And that had so many dresses. All right. Finally, the last.
Someone could be the sheep. I'm just going to say.
Someone can be the sheep. Bringing in the sheep.
Put a bath mat on your back. Here we go. You're
that slain sheep. Come on.
Thank you. And Maddie trails for days.
Maddie Morphosis. Come on.
Come on. You know it's in her book.
All right. The last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Brokeback Mountain?
Well, they go camping.
Yeah.
They go camping.
They go camping.
This is one of those things where like, it's not a campy movie. It's so like honest and real and grounded. Yes. And it feels so like mm-hmm. it feels tough to want us to be true to it. It feels like you're insulting it or you're criticizing it, which you're not. You know what I mean? Like, it's not a campy movie, so you'd want to give it a low score, but it also feels like you're dinging.
But we have to be honest, though. You know,
it's true.
It's one of the three iconic categories.
I agree,
but it's really not campy.
It's not that campy.
Well, what, how about you, Mark? Have you found anything specific campy about this?
I do have a quick list of campy things I noticed from Brokeback Mountain. So here we go. Having to treat Randy Quaid with a modicum of respect. Wood paneling. Wondering if the author knew Brokeback sounds a lot like Bareback. And if she did, would she have done anything different? Sleeping with sheep is a little on the nose. Taxidermy. Hiding from the Forest Service. Eating straight out of a tin can. Drive-in movies. A shitty little kid left alone for 2 seconds and immediately destroying a grocery store display. Your husband completely shutting you out of his relationship with his fishing buddy. Motel room rendezvous. It takes over an hour for there to be our love is like a bucking bronco metaphor. Anne Hathaway working an adding machine. The sinister way their sideburns keep getting bigger. A grandpa undermining a parent's authority. Never catching any fish on your fishing trips. A benefit for the bleakly named childless country home. And finally, eating pie at the Greyhound bus terminal.
It's a great list. It's solid.
It's a good list.
Thank you. But not that campy overall.
And then still going to rate it 35.
35.
Because I actually go camping, I will give it a 70.
70. I mean, it also does have King of the Road on the soundtrack by Roger Miller.
There you
There's
go.
There's a little camp element.
Okay.
There.
Okay.
I'll give it a 50. Giving it an average of 51.67. Finally, we are into the crown jewels.
So these categories we don't rate. We either vote it gets it or it doesn't.
Okay. Okay.
The first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Does Brokeback Mountain have a positive portrayal of homosexuality? I would say, I've been thinking about this. Go figure.
Yes. This is, this is a,
I think it does present their love as the beautiful. The negative thing is heterosexuality.
Is society.
Is society. The homosexuality is fun and beautiful and the only moments they are free and the thing they should be pursuing.
Mm-hmm.
It is the society around them that is the negative portrayal.
I agree.
I agree. It is, the movie doesn't condemn their feelings for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And in the end, the movie's almost saying they should go for it. Just live your life. Live, you know?
Yeah.
I agree. And I will say yes.
I'm going to also say yes. I also think, you know, when it came out, it was absolutely like such a positive
Yes,
right.
Compared to anything.
Two crew members apparently came out the week of yeah, first week of production.
Filming, yeah. Could you imagine?
One of them was Randy Rainbow, unfortunately. All right, that's it. We're done. Oh, wait, no.
No,
one more.
We're
sorry.
Not done.
One, sorry.
I was like,
I wanted to leave
one
on a high of my Randy Rainbow joke.
Crown
jewel. all right, finally.
You
negative.
Can make it again at the end.
Negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Yeah, I agree. It's not the movie Boat Trip.
Okay.
Even though they say so they're fishing, yeah. They never go fishing.
This
and
is
they
true.
Never go on a boat.
That's your go.
We never do see a boat, now that you mention it. Not even
never.
A rowboat.
Not even a rowboat.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm docking this down a star. All right. That's it. We're done.
Okay. So, Ruha, now that we've been through it all, do you still think it will hit the top 10?
I think I'm hopeful and I'm going to say yes. Ooh.
Okay.
What do you think,
we'll
John?
See.
I mean, there are a few things that it didn't do well in. I think it deserves the top 10. I will say that.
All right. I'll tell you exactly how it did. Out of total possible 2,544.64 points, Brokeback Mountain has scored 2,023.31 points, giving it a percentage of 79.51%, making it the 18th gayest movie Ooh. Ever. Not as gay as Grease 2, but gayer than Strictly Ballroom.
Okay. Came behind Grease 2. I feel like we failed.
Grease 2 has Lorna loved
it.
Grease 2 is a lot campier.
It's a musical. It's campier.
Very campy.
There's
yeah.
a whole Tom of Fiddlin.
A child of Judy yes. Garland in it.
Yeah. Yeah, because Brokeback, even though it is a gay movie, it's a gay story, it's not. It
I should
so
say
so many aspects
yes.
of
Sorry.
Gay
they are actually tied. They both have 79.51%.
Oh, so it's tied with Grease 2.
It's
That's
tied
huge.
With Grease 2 behind the Ten Commandments.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, tied with Grease 2, actually.
Yeah.
That should be on the poster.
Tied with Grease 2.
As gay as Grease 2 is what should
well,
be
the
on
poster,
the poster of Brokeback Mountain. Yeah.
The poster is the gayest part of the movie, as we all agree.
We all decided.
All agreed.
The poster would be number one on the list.
Yeah. You don't need to come out of the closet. Just buy the poster.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's done. What a
Amazing.
Fantastic,
well,
fun movie
what
to go
a
through.
Treat.
Top 20, I'll take it.
Thank you. We're happy. We'll stick around to hear an email, Ruha.
You want to stick around to hear an email?
Sounds great. I love hearing emails.
You love emails.
You
as
love
far as
listening
we know.
To emails.
It's the only way I do that.
You love spoken email poetry. So we got an email from Jim, and it is titled 1776 the Musical. And Jim writes, "Hello. I wanted to add something to the conversation about 1776, which you discussed in the top of the episode on Singing in the Rain. Jason Sheridan said he remembered the one horny joke in that movie, but that movie is surprisingly horny, mostly because of the song He Plays the Violin. The thinly veiled subtext is 100% about Thomas Jefferson fucking. Seriously, here's the scene, and then they provide the YouTube link and says, thanks, Queen. Love the show, Jim. So thank you, Jim. Yes, you are right. He Plays the Violin is how you would talk about fucking and what the time of in the year of 1776.
Just like plucking straight. I got through 2 minutes of it before.
You had to shut it off.
I had to shut it off. It seemed mostly like a woman prancing around in the a courtyard.
Sure. I mean, but for musical theater, it was definitely like, yeah, it's a song about fucking. And it's in the movie Blythe Danner. On the stage, it was Betty Buckley.
Wow.
Yeah, there you
Is
go.
That a horn? Do you remember that being a particularly horny musical, John? Have you seen it ever?
I have seen it several times. I wouldn't say it's, I don't think of it as like a musical I would beat off to. Not that there's any musical I beat off to, really. But
what's the Full Monty?
Full Monty.
Mrs.
Oh, sure. There you go.
Mean Girls.
Outfire. Book of Mormon.
Thank you. Book of Newsies.
Rent.
Anne Hathaway.
The one guy who did the one-arm pull-ups in Rent. That I would beat off to. I mean, it's like Dirty Old Man horny.
He'll do the
absolutely.
One-arm pull-up. Well, he
there
does the one-arm pull-up.
Thank you. The one he'll pull out. Yeah, I mean, there's some just a dirty old man horniness to it.
I also don't want to think about Thomas Jefferson having sex. He's such like a toxic, despicable person, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so. Fair enough.
Yeah.
But Jim, you're right. It is a much.
But Jim is right.
But it's a much harder musical than we gave it credit for.
Jim is right about the movie. Just 1776.
We're not blaming Jim for the peccadilloes of Thomas Jefferson.
We didn't know when they wrote 1776. That I mean, we probably did.
No, they
some people knew. Some people knew.
People knew.
Most people knew, but didn't care.
But people didn't care. But people
didn't care.
You didn't buy a ticket for that. That's not why you're going to the theater.
We know, and we don't care that people are offended. That's the difference between then and now. Ruha, what a delightful
what a treat it was
person,
to have you as a
great guest. You are. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
This was so fun. No.
You want to plug how much fun you had on this podcast?
I would love to plug this podcast and how much fun I had. I'd like to plug myself as a podcast guest.
Absolutely. You come with my highest recommendation.
Co-sign for both
Co-sign
of us.
Co-sign and
yes.
delivered.
Thank you. I'm working with the Comedy Co-op LA trying to start this new comedy theater. So hopefully we'll have more stuff coming up this year.
Are there socials,
there ways that we can follow along to find out?
Yes, Comedy Co-op LA on Instagram, Twitter, Twitch, all the things.
All the things.
And there's a link tree on the Comedy Co-op LA's Instagram to the website and all that fun stuff. So
beautiful.
Follow along.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thank you. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie ranking.
Yes, or you can email us at Two Old Queens, TWO Old Queens at gmail.com. Let us know what we got wrong. Is there some horniness in Brokeback Mountain we missed? We'd love to hear it. Let us know.
I doubt that.
I think we got it all, but who knows? There's still maybe some rocks we didn't uncover. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you have a moment, if you could go to iTunes and rate us 5 stars and give us a lovely review, it helps the algorithm and helps people find the podcast.
We've also got a Patreon. Go to patreon.com/twooldqueens to get 2 extra episodes a month for a measly $5.
Isn't that crazy?
3 extra hours at least a month.
At the very least.
And also this kind of content.
We've got merch. If you go to TeePublic and search for Two Old Queens, there's a lot of fun stuff you can buy for yourself and your loved ones. And a percentage of all the proceeds goes to the Okra Project. So you're not just buying merch, you're helping people out.
And that's it. We're all done. Yes. We're going back up the mountain.
Back up the mountain.
I'm going fishing, honey. If you know what I mean.
Hey, girl.
I'm going fishing.
Where the bears are.
Hey.
All
right. We'll see you next time, everybody. Stay safe. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
Goodbye. We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.